Today we are beginning a brand new summer series called The Big Ten, right? And so over the next 10 weeks of the summer, we're going to take you through with all the top 10 stories of the Bible. And remember, the Big Ten has 14 teams, so we'll see how long this lasts. All right. It's going to be a great summer. VBS is a week from Monday. And parents, I want to encourage you to make sure your kids are there looking for some volunteers. Honor Our Heroes is 4 weeks from today. We're going to have thousands of folks on our church grounds as we honor law enforcement, firefighters, military, active military, and veterans. And so we are very excited to bring that back. And then this week, we have two missions teams that are going to be going on mission trips. One's going to Alaska, and the other one's going to Haiti. And so this Wednesday night, we're going to be taking time to pray over them in our prayer and worship service, commissioning them. And so we are very excited. Matter of fact, if you're here on one of those teams going to Alaska or Haiti, stand up. We want to say God bless you, and we want to be praying for you guys. All right. God bless all of these guys going to Haiti and Alaska. Awesome. Great. Now, how many of you think that you would be able to name all of the books of the Bible? Oh, there's a few of you. So we're going to have a little contest here this morning. I have all of the books of the Bible laid out here on the platform, and we have pre-selected one person to put them in order because there are a few of them that are out of order. And if this person is able to put them in order, they're going to win a nice prize. By the way, if you can videotape yourself saying all the books of the Bible in order in the next I'll just say during this series, if you can quote them from beginning to end, I didn't say read them, so you're not videotaping yourself with a selfie stick in the corner. You know what I'm saying? Right? You memorize them on video, post it on our Facebook page, hashtag Big Ten, and then we're going to enter all those people to do that for a big prize at the end of this series. All right, Adam Morris, are you ready? Stand up, Adam. All right, Pastor Jason's going to come, and he's going to start the timer. All right, now Adam, I'm going to give you just a couple moments to peruse here. You know, I'm not sure which one's over here. But hey, how many think Adam can do this? He's going to have 60 seconds to put them in order, and then Pastor Jason's going to check your work to see if it can happen. Anybody want to help Adam out? You want to encourage him? Ready, set, go! Help him out. You can help him. Help him! 30 seconds. Help him out, he's got 10 seconds left. Oh, time's up. All right, did he make it, Pastor Jason? Oh, good try, Adam. All right. All right, we'll think about doing this again next week while you study and memorize all the books of the Bible. Hey, by the way, before we continue, tomorrow's a big day in the life of one of our pastoral staff. Tomorrow's Pastor Jason Daly's 40th birthday. All right, 40. You know, 40's the new, I don't know, it's the new something. But would you stand up, Pastor Jason? We want to honor you, and let's sing everybody on three. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Wow. Awesome. Congratulations. All right. Now, why are we taking time to do this series through the summer? Let me give you a few reasons. The first reason is because we have a biblical literacy problem in our culture. According to a recent survey by George Barna, 60% of Americans can't name even five of the Ten Commandments. 12% of adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. A survey of graduating high school seniors revealed that over 50% thought Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. And a considerable number of respondents to one poll indicated that the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. We have a very serious problem in our culture because this Bible that we have been taking for granted, now our generation does not know. So I want to encourage you to help me, because even if you know these things, how many know we know people who don't know them and who need to know them? So I want to challenge you during the Big Ten series, let's invite at least 10 new people to church with us over the summer. Summer is a great time to invite people to church. I think people are excited about the Word of God. You've got the success of the Bible series on History Channel, the 80s series on NBC. I think people are wanting to know more about the Scriptures. Is anybody that agrees with me? And so I want to encourage you during the summertime, bring people to church with you during this Big Ten series. It's going to be awesome. All the kids are going to be giving trading cards every week based on the story that we tell. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. The second reason we're doing this series is because we want to really promote personal Bible study. Now, one of the goals of our church is that everybody becomes self-feeding Christians. I mean, you know, as a baby, you need help people feeding you, but as you grow, pretty soon you should be able to learn to lift the spoon and fork yourself, right? It's the same way in our walk with God. Early on, we need a lot of help, but as we grow, we need to learn to feed ourselves. And so one of the challenges we're asking everybody is to read through the entire Bible in 61 days. Yeah, it's quiet in here. And what you have is an overview Bible reading plan in your notes and in the bulletin. It's an overview of the entire Bible. It's not every word of the Bible, but in 61 days, you're going to take basically a jet tour through the entire Bible. So beginning today is day one, start reading the Bible and begin to build that daily habit of Bible reading. I am praying for a revival of commitment to God's word in our culture. How many believe that's possible? So I want to challenge everybody, open your Bible. Let's read it every day. Families, some of you families can read the Bible together. Maybe this will be your first experience of saying, hey, let's do this together. Maybe you can do it at work, husband and wife, whatever you want to do. The third reason we're doing this is because it's relevant. How many know these stories are more relevant now than ever before? And the fourth reason is because Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says that if we commit our lives to the Word of God, we will have good success. Does anybody want to have success? Anybody want your kids? Only a third of us want to be successful, all right? How many of you want your kids to be a success? The Scripture says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, that if we are careful to meditate on the Word of God and to do what it says, we will be prosperous and have good success. I want you to be a success, and your success is based on your commitment to God's Word, all right? So it's going to be a successful summer. Everybody say amen. Amen. Now, someone would say, well, how can you cover the Bible in just 61 days or 10 weeks? Well, I can do it in 30 seconds. I've got a picture on the screen that gives you an overview of the Bible or the history of mankind, and it starts with creation, corruption, catastrophe, confusion, Christ, cross, and consummation. There it is, all right? So that's the history of the world according to the Bible. Now, I also can do it in 60 seconds, right? A little bit more of an updated, a little bit more modern version, a little bit more fun summary of the entire Bible. Watch this.
One, two, three. Bible in a minute. Earth made Adam, Eve. Cain kills Abel, has to leave. Boring genealogy. Great flood. Olive leaf. Tower Babel. Abraham. Sodom and Gomorrah. And Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. Ten commands. Promised land. Judges, David, Solomon. Sent away to Babylon. Job. Then a bunch of songs. Proverbs and the Song of Songs. Major prophets. Lion den. Minor prophets. Bethlehem. And myrrh and frankincense, Satan and Samaritan. Choose disciples, other cheek. Walk on water, 1,000 feet. Lazarus, fig tree. Last supper, Gethsemane. Blood, money, third to now. Pontius Pilate, public trial. 40 lashes to the tree. Why have you forsaken me? Third day, empty tomb. Reappears, 5 wounds. Acts of the apostles, next epistles, and apocalypse. Oh!
Yeah. I thought about doing that rap myself, and then wisdom took over my life. All right, the first story that we're going to cover here this morning is the one that was on everybody's list. A lot of you gave me your list of the top 10 Bible stories, and this one was on everybody's list because it's obvious that the first one we should cover is what? Adam and Eve, right? We're going to start at the very beginning here today, and in the story of Adam and Eve, we're going to learn about the origin of man, the fall of man, and the word of God and man. So let's start right here. The story of Adam and Eve tells us about the origin of man. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to read verse 7 through 25. And by the way, each week we're going to tell the whole story. We're not going to just skim through because we want to make sure that we know the story and not skip anything. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely what?
Die.
You will surely die. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone, which is why we have small groups tonight at 6 o'clock. That was a free commercial right there. It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So when we get to heaven, we're going to say, Adam, where did the name platypus come from? What did you eat before you named the platypus? So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a man. This is the Arthur Fonzarelli version. Sorry. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they will become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So right off the bat, we see where everything came from. The Bible says God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them in 6 literal 24-hour days, and then he rested on the Sabbath day. Now, how do you know that, Pastor? So many other people don't agree with you. How do you know that God created everything in 6 literal 24-hour days? Because it says so right here in the Bible. And since I'm not smarter than God, I believe what God says. Amen. Well, perhaps it's the same way that God created the world in 6 literal 24-hour days. It's the same way he keeps our air that we breathe, 78% nitrogen, 21% oxygen, and 1% everything else, so we can stay alive. It's the same way the oceans and cover 70% of the Earth's surface, but they stop at the shore of at the shores of the continents and go no further, in some part due to the moon and its exact distance from the Earth. Or the same way the North and the South Pole acts like a magnetosphere generated by a molten outer core. Yeah, I copied and pasted this so I could read it to you, all right? A molten outer core that forms this magnetic field around the earth, which keeps the particles of sun from crashing into the earth, causing us an overexposure to radiation. So yeah, I don't understand how all that works, but I believe that God is God. And so I believe that God created the world in 6 literal 24-hour days because he's God and I'm not. Come on, somebody say amen. So right off the bat, here in the story, we see Adam and Eve. We have these very simple truths that confront and challenge our culture's way of thinking. You see, our culture is bombarded with an evolutionary mindset that the earth and the universe is millions of years old. Everywhere you go, millions of years ago, billions of years ago, this happened. And according to evolution, men are the end product or the end product of a chance collision of molecules. We call it the Big Bang, right? Mankind came into existence because of a mindless and unplanned accident of nature. Somebody referred to this kind of thinking as being from goo to you by way of the zoo. Now listen. According to this kind of thinking, you and I aren't any different than the birds in the air or the fish in the sea or the slug in the mud, right? We're all pretty much the result of the same purposeless interaction of atoms, and because of that, we have no intrinsic value on our own. Nothing that sets us apart from the animals, nothing that sets us apart from the rest of the world. But God's word says something completely different. God's word says that you are made in the image of the one who made you. You are made in the image of God. Genesis 1:27, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So that means the Bible says, Adam and Eve tell us that you were not created by accident. You were planned. You have a purpose and you have value because God says you do. You have the DNA of God Almighty rushing through every fiber of your being because you were made in the image of God and therefore you are valuable. Amen? God created us that way. So the Bible says that God made a man and he made a woman. And how many know there's a difference? He said, I made a man and made a woman, and they're different. And remember, after he created everything, the Bible says he called it good. And how many know it's good that men and women are different? Now, I'm going to help you out, guys. If you're married, just accept it. She's different. She's never going to think like you. She's never going to act like you. And let's be honest, you don't want her to. That would be going down for her. Can I get a witness in the house of God? All the guys who married up, say amen. Right, you don't want that. I found some obvious differences between men and women. Let me share it with you. Ask a woman how she stubbed her toe, and she'll say she walked into a chair. Ask a man, and he'll say someone left a chair in the middle of the room. The difference between government bonds and men is that government bonds mature. The difference between a man and E.T. is E.T. phoned home. How many men does it take to change a light bulb? One. He just holds it up there and waits for the world to revolve around him. How many women does it take to change a light bulb? None. They just sit there in the dark and complain. This is a random thing I found on the internet. Nothing from my house. This is deep stuff, so listen, this is from Dave Barry, okay? If a woman has to choose between catching a fly ball and saving a baby's life, she will choose to save the infant's life without even considering if there's a man on base. If diamonds are a girl's best friend and a dog is a man's best friend, who's really the smarter sex? A man says to his wife, just so you know, I never want to live in a vegetative state dependent on some machine. If that ever happens, just pull the plug. Okay. His wife gets up, goes up to the television, and pulls the plug. I'm preaching now. A man will pay $2 for a $1 item that he needs. A woman will pay $1 for a $2 item that she does not need. And then she'll come and tell you, I saved you money. Can I get a witness in the house of God? All right. A man's got to do what a man's got to do, and a woman must do what he can't. Oh, yeah. I feel it coming. Psychoanalysts, I'm just going to skip that one. Here's what women want: to be loved, to be listened to be desired, to be respected, to be needed, to be trusted, and sometimes just to be held. What men want. tickets to the World Series. Or the All-Star Game. It's in Cincinnati this year. That's my prayer request, all right? All right. Women always worry about the things that men forget. Men always worry about the things women remember. I love this one. Women and cats will do exactly as they please. Men and dogs should just relax and get used to it. All right. Here's the last one. Would you like to speak to the man in charge or the woman who knows what's going on? That's right. Leo Gossett wrote a book many years ago called Men Are From Dirt, Women Are From Men. Yeah. So you have to chew on that one a little bit. And so one of the things that he said to us, and this will transition into our next point. He said he's been here over the years doing marriage counseling and things like that. He says, as a result of the fall, men always struggle with laziness and women always struggle with rebellion. You're going to see that in the next part on the fall of man. In the story of Adam and Eve, it tells us the origin of man, and then it tells us the fall of man. Genesis 3, verse 1. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. So ladies, guys have been blaming you for all their problems from the very beginning, so we should not be surprised. Adam did it right here off the bat. And the Lord, verse 13, and the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this, you are cursed. Everybody say cursed. As a result of this sin, they're cursed. You are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And my wife has said that because of the pain of childbirth and all the things that come with it, that when she gets to heaven, she will be the first in line to slap Eve. Bam. And then Adam, he said, verse 17, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Now, some cynical people would read that story, and they ask the question, why is there such a harsh response from God, such a harsh curse for eating the wrong piece of fruit? And I want to illustrate for you today that what Adam and Eve did was more than just make a mistake. It was much more than just, oops, I ate the wrong apple. Eve and Adam chose willingly to disobey God, and their choice was rebellion and against God and to become like God. Now watch this, pay attention. Remember in verse 5, how did the serpent test or tempt Eve? He said to her, you will be like God if you eat this apple. You'll be like God. Now, when I read that, that reminds me of a verse in Isaiah chapter 14 that talks about Lucifer, the son of the morning, and how he fell from heaven. Anybody remember this? Isaiah 14, verse 14. He said, I will make myself like the Most High. This is the spirit of Lucifer at work. It's the same spirit. It's the same thing. You will be like God. And Lucifer was cast out of heaven because he tried to take over God's place. Can I tell you, that's exactly what Adam and Eve were doing as well. They were saying, I will be like God. I don't need God. They were rejecting God, all of his provision, all the things that he's given them, and they chose to disobey him. It was a conscious act of rebellion that brought with it a huge amount of consequences, and it was an act worthy of the curse that followed. Listen closely. Because God is just, the punishment fit the crime. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. The Bible says Adam and Eve opened a door to the world, a door that had not been opened, a door that God did not want opened, and death and sin entered into the world when they did. And the Bible says it now affects all of us because now we are all sinners. We all have a fallen nature. And again, the cynical people say, I didn't sin. Adam sinned. Adam did it. So what does Adam's sin have to do with me? Let me be very clear. When Adam sinned, I sinned. Because we were all there when Adam sinned. I was there in him, and so were you. Because the seed of every human being was in Adam. Now, let me illustrate it to you with this apple. How many have ever heard somebody say, you can count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the number of apples in a seed? Anybody ever heard that? So if this seed is, if this apple is Adam, inside of Adam are all the seeds of every person who was ever born. We were all there in Adam. And his sin directly affects all of us. Because every seed that comes out of this apple is going to reproduce into another apple. It's the same with us. We were all there with Adam, and every seed that's been multiplied after him affects us. It's called the fall of man, or the sinful nature. It's natural for us to sin. And on that day, every evil thing entered into the world. Death, disease, suffering, pain, turmoil, strife, grief, sorrow, and hurt. The story of Adam and Eve answers the great why questions of life. Why did my loved one die of cancer? Why am I battling depression? Why is there so much suffering in the world? Why is there injustice and racism and hatred among people? Why do people treat each other so badly? Why can't we all just get along? It's because of sin. You know, you can spend millions and billions and trillions of dollars trying to rectify injustice, but until you deal with the sin problem, you will always fall short. Come on, somebody. That's why this story is so important, because you weren't made to die. You weren't made to go to hell. We weren't made to be hooked up to breathing machines or to be rushed to a hospital in an ambulance. You weren't made to be addicted to drugs or addicted to anything. You weren't made to be used up like trash and thrown away on the heap of this world. There was never intended to be funeral homes or prisons or hospitals or war or poverty or death. You were made by God to breathe celestial air. You were made by God to walk hand in hand with him in paradise, having every need met, fully blessed, fully filled with God's Spirit. You were made to be part of God's family. It's the reason you were created. And that's why people who keep trying to find fulfillment in money or sexual relationships or drugs or alcohol, they're trying to fill something that only God can fill. There is a God-shaped hole inside of us. We are made in the image of God, remember? So there is this thing in us that only God can fill. And how many can testify on the day that you give your heart to Jesus Christ, on the day that you reconcile yourself to God, there is that fulfillment that no drug, no bottle, no amount of money, no amount of stuff is going to fill you like Jesus Christ can fill your soul. Have you ever noticed, as I was reading through this story again this time, I noticed the first question that God asked Adam was pretty peculiar after he sinned. The question wasn't, what have you done, Adam? How could you do this? I want you to notice the first question that God asked Adam is, where are you? Where are you? Because fellowship was broken. You were intended, we were intended to walk with God, to be in communion with God. So God's first question, Adam, where are you? Where'd you go? Because now they're separated. Are you getting this? Listen, we tend to forget that we read in Genesis in the Garden of Eden that we were intended to live in a world of paradise where God would come down and walk with us in the cool of the day. And we could have a conversation between us and God face to face, just like you and I have a conversation now. You were made, just like your family goes together to the mall or wherever you go, God literally intended for us to have intimate face to face contact with us as human beings. But sin ruined that. Sin destroyed that. That's why somebody wrote a book years ago called The Insanity of Sin. The Insanity of Sin. God says, listen, I set before you today a choice, life and death, blessing and cursing. No-brainer of all time, choose life. If you're here today and you've been shaking your fist at God, God, why? God, why? Why did this happen to me? Why did you allow this to happen? And the devil's more than there to cheer you on, to hate God. And God is looking out from heaven and said, why? Why would you choose this life? Why would you choose to be separated from me? Because how many know it's on us? We are the ones who are guilty. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to... Come on, somebody. This is in the story of Adam and Eve, the fall of man. And the last part of this story I want to share with you, because we're going to pray and have a time of prayer for everybody who needs prayer here today, is this. It's the word of God and man. The origin of man, the fall of man, and I love this part, the word of God and man. Perhaps more than any other story in the Bible, the story of Adam and Eve illustrates so clearly the relationship between God's word and us. Let's talk first of all about the power of God's word. How many know God's word is powerful? How powerful is God's word? In Genesis 1, the Bible says, God said, let there be light, and there was... How did light come? How did the sun come? How did daylight come? Because God, whew, he just said it. And the scripture says in Psalm 33 verse 9, when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command. God's words are incredibly powerful. Created the whole world just by speaking it. Can I tell you that God's word is God's voice? Are you hearing me? God's word is God's voice. Imagine what God's word can do in your life if you will read it, if you'll memorize it, if you'll think about it, if you'll meditate on it. If God's word can create the whole world, imagine what God's word can do in your life for your future, for your relationships. Come on, somebody, give God praise if you are excited about the power of God's word. Genesis 2 verse 7, I love this. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So before we get too high on ourselves and how quote unquote good we look, remember everybody was made from dirt. So you can paint your dirt, you can clothe your dirt, but ultimately you're just dirt. So if you really want to give somebody a compliment before the day's over, just tell them, your dirt looks good. What makes us different than everybody else? Listen closely. The Bible says God breathed into that dirt the breath of life. Now, the original word in this scripture is the word ruach, R-U-A-C-H, which means the breath of God or the Spirit of God. The New Testament word for this is pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, which is another word for the Holy Spirit. Remember in the New Testament, Jesus breathed on his disciples and he said, receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, come on, somebody. You see, God, that's what God's word did. He breathed into Adam and Adam became a living being. Do you know what happens when you open this book and you read it? Do you know what happens when you quote this book, when you study this book? It's like the breath of God breathing on you, breathing in your soul and breathing in your spirit, and dead things come to life. Things that were once dead all of a sudden begin to resurrect. This word has incredible life-giving power. It is ruach, it is pneuma, it is the Spirit of God. And if you will read it, if you'll make it part of your life, it will breathe new life into you. It'll change your life. Something supernatural happens when people read the Bible. I said something supernatural happens when people read the Bible. Something supernatural will happen in your life if you'll read the Bible this summer. Something supernatural will happen inside of you when you read the Bible. I've seen drug addicts and alcoholics get delivered simply because they've read the Word of God. I've seen men who are full of themselves, who abuse other women because of the Word of God has transformed them. Now they are godly. Now they treat people with respect and they are upstanding citizens. How did that happen? Because the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. The Word of God. We see it in the story of Adam and Eve. And look at this. I want you to see that's the power of God's Word. But look at the purpose of God's Word. The purpose of God's Word. God, why did God give us this book? Why did God give us His commands? The first reason is to protect us. The story of Adam and Eve clearly illustrate that when God gives us a command in Scripture, He is not trying to control you. He is not trying to manipulate you. He is trying to protect you from danger, from sin, and from pain. I want to wave my hands. I want to get everybody's attention. Listen, listen, listen. When God gives you a command in Scripture, He is not trying to control your little life, you rebellious little person. He is trying to protect you from the consequences of your decision. Look at this cartoon on the screen. I found this at Answers in Genesis. I hate being confined by this fence. I'm jumping over it. And you see the fence is God's commands. Wait, it's not a fence. It's a guardrail. Proverbs 19, whoever keeps commands keeps their life. Whoever shows contempt for their ways will die. Satan loves to blackball God's character and to tell us that this word is vindictive. This word is angry. This word is hurtful. This word is painful. This word is life. This word will protect you. This word will guard you. And those guards that God puts over your life is because He wants to protect you from danger. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Now, I love this next part too. It says, God's word provides for us. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Anybody ever heard that verse before? So God gives us His word so that we can obey it, so that He can provide for us, so that we can be in position for God to give us all that He wants as our Father. He wants to provide for you. His name is Jehovah Jireh. So God's word protects, God's word provides. So let's bring it home, and we're about to pray. You ready? There are some commands in the Scripture about sex. So those of you that have fallen asleep, come back. There are commands in the Scripture about sexual relationships, right? Keep yourself sexually pure until you get married. Don't lust after another man or woman whom you're not married to. Anybody heard of these? What's God trying to do anyway? Ruin your fun? He's trying to keep you controlled? No, He's trying to protect you. He's trying to guard you so that you will be blessed. He's trying to provide for you relationships that are blessed. Come on, somebody. Amen. There are some commands in the Scripture about money, right? Don't envy what other people have. Don't covet what is your neighbor's. Don't be greedy. Put God first. Anybody know those, right? What's God trying to do? He's trying to protect you. He's trying to protect your heart. He's trying to provide for you. There's some commands in the scripture about marriage and family, right? About marriage and the family. Honor your father and your mother. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Well, why is that in there? Well, you know, God, he's just an angry man upstairs just trying to ruin your life. No, God's trying to keep you. He's trying to keep you from heartache. He's trying to keep you from pain. He's trying to put a guard over you because just like you, mom and dad, come on, somebody, you, mom and dad, you want to cover your kids. You want to protect them. God is just like that. He wants to cover us, protect us. He's not trying to harm us. He's trying to help us. Put your hands together if you believe that's the intent of God's word. History shows that disobeying God is the dumbest thing you can do. History shows that disobeying or ignoring God's word is the most disastrous thing you can do with your life. I want to challenge anybody here, if you're in high school, maybe you recently graduated, perhaps you're a young adult, perhaps you're a college student. Welcome back, all the college students. We're glad you're back to church. God bless you. All right? Go ahead, welcome them back. We're glad you guys are back. Awesome. Listen. There are some who would say, well, you know, it's that time of year, season of your life where you're going to sow your wild oats and you're just kind of spread your wings a little bit, kind of get away from the church. You know, can I tell you what that will lead to? Heartache, pain, destruction, regret. There is another way. Hold fast to God's word. Don't reject or ignore this book. Keep it close to your heart and watch the Lord be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Watch it create faith in your spirit and watch your life be blessed above all others because Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 is true. Come on, somebody say amen. Don't neglect it. You know what, Pastor? If I were Adam and Eve, I would have never done that. I would have never sinned and did what they did. That was dumb. Are you sure? Because remember, the serpent's temptation began with a question. Did God really say? Did God really say? You see, God gives us commands about sexual purity. But our culture teaches us to question that. Did God really mean pure? You know, we're living together, but we're not married. But it's the financial reasons. Did God really mean that? Come on, somebody. We're doing it all the time. We're saying God didn't really mean all that. Yes, he did. Whatever command is in his scripture is for our good and our protection because he loves us. Now, let's bring this in for a landing and then we're going to pray. When I was growing up, I had a Bible as a teenager that had a section in it called The Scarlet Thread of Redemption. Even the thingy dilly was red, you know. And so all throughout the scripture, it would follow whatever story, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham and Isaac, Moses, the Passover, the prophets, they would always say, there would always be a little article, a little commentary called The Scarlet Thread of Redemption. And it was based on Rahab, right? In the story of Rahab, she would drop the scarlet cord to let the spies come into Jericho. And it was a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now watch this. What I'm trying to tell you is that the scarlet thread of redemption is in every story in the Bible. Jesus and the cross are in every story in the Bible. So every time we talk about one of these stories, I want to show you the scarlet thread of redemption. I want to show you Jesus and the cross right off the bat in the Garden of Eden. Anybody want to see it? Here it is. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. The Bible says, For Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Now pay attention. After Adam and Eve had sinned, the Bible says they felt shame. They felt shameful. That's why they were hiding from one another and from God. How many know sin brings shame? God did not want them to be ashamed. Here's what God did. So God himself, think about this, God killed an animal and took the skin of that animal and covered Adam and Eve. Now that tells us and reminds us, the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And the Bible says that later in, we'll see that the lamb is sacrificed. The blood is what covers our unrighteousness. So right there in the Garden of Eden, we see the blood being spilled for sin and a covering to cover our shame. Anybody see Jesus yet? Because Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, is ultimately slain and crucified because of our sin, because all sinned. The Bible says through one man, sin entered into the world, but through one man, life did as well, Jesus Christ. And watch this. And when that death happened in Jesus Christ, when by faith we receive Christ, watch this. God takes Jesus' clothing and he covers our shame. Oh man. That means I don't have to be perfect to serve God. That means I'm not going to always do everything right, but I got to have the covering of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So that when God looks at me, I put my faith in Jesus Christ. He doesn't see my shame. He doesn't see my sin. He sees the righteousness of his Son. Oh man. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the scarlet thread of redemption right there. So bow your heads and close your eyes if you would. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I need to be covered with the righteousness of God. I need the blood of Jesus Christ to cover me. I'm not serving God. I don't have a relationship with God. I need Jesus in my life. If you're here today, I just want to ask you to raise your hand in just a moment when I count to three. And when I say three, just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. I just want to pray with you that you'll receive Christ today. Just listening to the Holy Spirit, God speaking to you. Just say yes. When I say three, one, the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart because he loves you. So listen to him. Two, the Bible says today's the day of salvation. He brought you here to church, not by accident, on purpose, so that you could hear the gospel through Adam and Eve. When I say three, put your hand up. Pastor, pray for me. I want to make it right with God. One, two, three. Put it up. God bless you. All over this room, God bless you. Yes, I see those hands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Everybody, join with these who have raised their hands. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear God, come on, say it in faith. Dear God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the blood that he spilled to pay the price for the sins I committed. I agree with you. I'm a sinner. I'm Adam's seed. I'm guilty. Please forgive me. I put my faith in Jesus Christ to save me, to cover my sin. And from this day forward, I will follow you. Holy Spirit, breathe on me the Ruach, the Spirit of God, to live with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you give God praise for everybody who prayed? Okay. I want to invite our small group leaders, our elders, pastors, and their spouses to come and come to the front, form a line across the front. We're going to close this service with a time of prayer. And this is a prayer for anybody. If you have any need in your life whatsoever, but pray about a sickness, pray for a family member. Maybe you have some family members that need Christ, that aren't serving Christ, or you need direction. Something's going on in your life. You just want somebody to pray with you. We want to close this time by praying with you and praying for you. If you're one of those folks that raised your hand just a minute ago and said, hey, I prayed to receive Christ, would you come and find one of these leaders and let them know, hey, I pray to receive Christ today. They're going to put some materials in your hand. They're going to pray for you and they're going to pray with you. All right. I need some other volunteers, some of our extras come and help us out. So as we pray for folks here this morning, just go ahead and step up and help us out. Thank you so much. But why don't you stand if you would? And I'm going to ask that no one be leaving, please. Let me know this is a sacred time. So no one be leaving. We're going to sing a worship song. We're going to worship Jesus in response to the Word of God today. But if you need prayer, I want you to come and step out of your seat, find one of these leaders. We're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to believe God to move in your life, because the God of the Word of God is here today, and He loves you. Amen. As we sing this song, just step out of your seat and come find one of these folks, and let's pray together.
I found myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard. But to hear what you would say.
If you need prayer for anything, just come.
Word of God speak, or would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're. In the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, and all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice. So Word of God speak, would you pour
praying. Let me make a proclamation to you. Your commitment to this book is the key to your life. Let me say it again. Your commitment to this book is the key to everything. You got to make it a priority in your schedule. Make it a priority. And for some of you, this Bible reading plan that you have, it's a huge deal. So just take the first step. Read it today and just get going. Today's day one. And I just want to challenge everybody, as we commit the summer to the reading of God's Word, you know what's going to happen? The life of God's going to breathe into you, into your house, in your relationships, and you won't recognize your life 61 days from now. I'm going to guarantee that, because this Word of God is alive. Amen? Now, you and I both know people that don't know the Word of God. They think they do. They know enough to get them in trouble, and they know enough to argue with you on Facebook, right? But they don't know the Word of God. I want to challenge you. This series is for them. Summer's a great time to invite people to church. How many know at least one person that needs to know more of God's Word than them, right? I want to challenge you. Fill up your row next week. Next week, Noah and the flood. I'm thinking judgment of God may have something to do with our culture. What do you think, right? And I believe that through God's Word, people's hearts are going to be encouraged. God's truth is going to reign and set us free. So I want to do your best. Invite folks. Bring them with you next Sunday. And I believe that God's going to do great things in the Big Ten series. Amen? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and give you peace. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We love you.